Chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, if you will. Romans chapter 1. Now, I got a lot to say, and I don't have a lot of time. Romans chapter 1, I want to ask you, how did we get in such a mess in America? Yeah. Much less the rest of the world, how did we get in such a mess? Amen. I remember when I was little, I'd go swimming in the creek and playing in the mud and come home, Mom would say, how'd you get in such a mess? And our country's in a mess. Amen? It ain't hard to see. It's not hard to see. Unless you just don't want to see it. Amen? And what's so bad is that that's become the normal. And so now we that do see it and do point it out, we're called the abnormal. Amen? So let's look at what Romans chapter 1 verse 21 says. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Look at this. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Darkened. Churches, America's churches, have turned into worldly, sexual, carnal entertainment centers.
Right. Yeah, right.
America's pastors have turned into CEOs and businessmen. We have women pastors, women preachers, women deacons, women evangelists. The sexual revolution, sodomy, homosexuals, pansexuals, transsexuals, pedophiles, adulterers, fornicators. We've got a government that was founded on Christian teachings and principles that now is corrupt and anti-Christian. Anti-Christian. Our homes have no order. They're out of order. The schools, the colleges, the universities being taken over by anti-American, anti-Christian professors and teachers. Mothers and fathers are M-I-A, A-W-O-L, missing in action, absent without leave. Children and now grandchildren raised with no discipline, no instruction in righteousness, and church being blamed because we don't entertain them enough. Denominations are now apologizing for being racist, homophobic, unsympathetic to sinners. Our Christian Bible is now being called hate speech. Hate speech. How did we get this way? Well, there's some things we have to understand, just a few things, and I'll show you in the Bible, and then we'll go home. Where, number one, you got to understand, where did this start? Where did all this start? And before you get to shouting where you think it started, turn back to Genesis chapter 3.
Right.
Genesis chapter 3. Look at verse 6. Genesis 3, 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and it was a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. For the sake of time, skip down to verse 11. You ought to read it all. But in verse 11, he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. That's where it all started. Disobedience to God in the garden. Now, we can lay the blame. He blamed it on his wife. She blamed it on the snake. But I'll tell you this, it all comes down to disobedience to God. That's where all our problems come from. That's where mine come from. That's where yours come from. That's where the home and the schools and the churches, every bit of it comes from disobedience to God. That's where it started. The fall of the human race. Look at Psalm 51 because of that. Look at Psalm 51 verse 5. This is what happened because of that fall that day. Psalm 51, verse 5, and I'm going to have to get it myself. Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, that's the results of that fall. We're born sinners now. And because we're born sinners, we sin. It's our nature. It's the Adamic nature that we inherited from our father, and they got from their father, and they got from their father, and they got from their father, and their father, and their father, all the way back to Adam himself. We've inherited this stuff.
Yeah.
It's called sin. Now, sin, according to Leviticus, is transgression of God's law.
Amen.
That means breaking God's law. Any law. Right. Any law of God. And it doesn't take but one to qualify you as a sinner.
Right.
And you were born that way. You just didn't know it until somebody brought it, until God opened your eyes.
Yeah.
Through the Word of God.
Yes.
Now, that causes Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse 5. Because the human race fell in the garden, and because through the generations we've all been born sinners, way back in Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse 5. In Genesis 6, 5, he says this, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And because of that, you know he's talking about the flood coming, and because of that, God destroyed the human race. Now, if you'll study the Bible, you'll see that was about 2,000 years from the garden until Noah. Okay? Now, because of that, it didn't take long to fill up the earth with people. But they were all born sinners. And because of that, everything they thought about was what? Evil continually. Now, it's been over 2,000 years since Jesus came. And it was 2,000 from Noah to him, and now it's 2,000 from him to us, and we're just about back where we were when the flood came in the first place. Judgment fell on the whole human race because its heart was on evil continually. And we're just about there again.
Yeah.
And judgment's about to fall again.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Y'all still with me? I'm trying to tell you where this stuff come from, okay? Now, because of that, Romans chapter 1, look at verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they know they're doing wrong.
Right.
They know they're doing wrong. And because of that, they hold the truth. Now, they hang on to it. They understand what they're doing, but they know what the truth is. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Everybody's got a conscience.
Right.
Your kid knows when he's sinning. He may not know it's sin, but he knows it's wrong. Y'all still here?
Yes.
I mean, your little old angel's not an angel.
Right.
Your little angel's a sinner. He's going to have to get saved one day. Because God showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You see that? Because, here's why. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened.
Yeah.
Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now you go back in the history of every civilization that's been on planet Earth and you'll see that to be true. Every one of them ended up worshiping, we used to say in Bible college, bugs, beasts, and birds. They worshiped everything. Because they didn't want to retain the knowledge of a holy God. They want to do what they want to do.
Right.
So they made their own gods. Now, every race of people has done that.
Right.
Your race of people has done that. My race of people has done that. And you can find it on every continent. There's some kind of history that those people knew the real God and turned away from it and worshiped some statue instead.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, wherefore God, verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into the lie.
That's right.
Homosexual marriage, transsexual, pansexual, whatever it is, pedophile, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator.
Yes.
There's more gyms, Gold's Gym and stuff like that stuff. More people down there tonight than there are at church,
yeah,
worshiping their body. Who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them unto vile affections.
Yes.
Now, this ain't love. These two men say they love each other.
No.
That's not love. That's a vile affection.
Yes.
These two women say they love each other. That's not love. That's a vile affection. And by the way, they'll put you in jail in Canada for preaching this now.
Yes.
England, too. Amen. And for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly. We couldn't even imagine this stuff. And receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's, they can't believe now. See, reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You remember, it used to be, well, you got to tolerate us.
Yeah.
And then it went to, you have to accept us.
Yeah.
And now it is, you got to celebrate with us. And it's not just homosexuality. It's all of these things. So let's go on before I get ahead of myself. Okay. So Paul explains how all mankind, all races, all tribes got into the awful darkness that they were in or in today, one or the other. Now, you see, every third or fourth generation in the Bible, you'll see that people forget God. Go back and read it. Every third or fourth generation, mama and daddy didn't tell to the children like they ought to, so those children told less to their children, and those children told less or nothing to their children. It doesn't take but three generations to destroy a country, and we're in it right now. But every third generation, though, they forget the past. Most young people and a lot of old people think that this is the only history there's ever been, what we're living in today. They don't know the things of the past. Especially the biblical things. They've never studied them. They've never read them. And so they think it's always been this way. Well, it has not always been this way. Amen. They recreate a history. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
They're recreating history. They recreate a history in their mind that never existed, like your ancestors were different and they were wholesome and clean and loving people. When the truth is that all mankind was, is, and will be born sinners.
Yeah. Amen.
I got to think about it the other day, my ancestors. English, Welsh, Scotch, Irish. Christian people, at least by name. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
They came from bloodthirsty, sinful tribes of Anglos, Saxons, and Celts who conquered, destroyed, pillaged, and raped each other.
Yeah.
They worship false gods. They worship the sun. They worship the moon. They worship the stars. They worship the birds. They worship the beasts as yours did.
Yeah.
All our ancestors did. Amen. Now later on they got evangelized and they became Christian, or what they call Christian. And a lot of our ancestors were followers of only true God. So what happened? What happened? What happened to the people that built the first churches in America? What happened to those people? What happened to the people that landed on this continent and said, we want to evangelize this continent. We want to see people saved. What happened to those people? What happened to a government that's founded by the people for the people?
Yeah.
Amen? And in God we trust.
Amen.
What happened to those people? Somewhere, sometime, every one of them made a wrong decision, and like I read you in Romans chapter 1, 18 through 25, they decided that God was not what they wanted. They wanted to worship themselves, and then that evolved into worshiping the elements and everything else. So today, it's against the law to kill some bugs. You can't build some kind of plant because there's a creek goes through it with a little clam shell in it. They don't want you to dig an oil well because they're afraid you might upset the sleep of some stupid bear somewhere. I mean, they tell me bear meat's real good. I don't know. So today our history as American, it began right. Listen to this. Not only were people seeking gold, silver, and land, but a group seeking freedom to worship God according to their own conscience. Pilgrims, Puritans, Baptists, they served Jesus Christ. They were godly people. They were all serious about history, and they were serious about what they wanted done, and they saw a large land with few people. They wanted to share it, not take it. There were millions of miles of uninhabited land, and then they also, their main thing, though, was to share the gospel. They wanted to share the gospel with a continent of lost people who were worshiping the sun and the moon and the stars and the birds and the beasts. Later on, what happened? Sinful people came in. They wanted gold, they wanted silver, they wanted land, even at the cost of whatever it would cost, their lives or somebody else's life. Romans 7:18 explains a little bit of this. Real quick, I'm getting to my point. Romans 7:18. In verse 18 it says, "For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Well, what happened when these people came to America and wanted to worship God in spirit and truth and wanted to establish churches and wanted to share the land? And, by the way, I know something that most people around here have never even seen. Did you know what Fort Mill's named for? It was named for a fort that, I think his name was Spratt, built for the Catawba Indians because the Cherokees would come down once a year and attack the Catawbas, who were peaceful people. They were not fighters, they were farmers, and they'd come down. And that place is over there. Billy, you ever seen that place on Nations Ford Road over there? Well, they don't call it that now, they call it Brickyard Road. There's a sign sticking up out there. It's a plaque, you can read it. Yeah, there's an old cemetery back. And he built them a fort to protect them from the Cherokees who would come down and kill them every year. And the reason the name of that road was Nations Ford is that's where the Indian nations forded the river. That's where they forded the river. But see, people forget that kind of stuff. And now they're tearing down historical markers and all this other stuff. Why? Because of verse 18. "For I know that is in me, that's in my flesh, dwells no good thing, for the will is present with me, but I perform that which is good, I find not." And without Christ, it'll always end up wrong. It will always end up wrong. I don't care how many meetings you have or councils or resolutions or laws. Without Christ, it's always going to end up where we are today. A human without being regenerated will eventually do anything.
Amen.
We can't even trust ourselves.
That's right.
That's how it's got where it is today. People forgot that. Did you know the righteous, those that try to live for God, though there are many, and for over 200 years, they've greatly influenced our nation. the righteous have him. Think about this. When we was growing up, everybody in here, the older people, when we was growing up, the church had so much influence on society that there were a lot of things we couldn't do. And then there were some things we could do, but was ashamed to do it. That's why the bars were dark. That's why people did bad things in old rundown bad places. They'd hide out. But now, nations, homes, schools, colleges, seminaries, entertainment, public life, and lifestyles were all influenced by people who believed the Bible.
Amen.
But not anymore. Or very little at the most. But as in the days of Noah and all through history of mankind, eventually the unrighteous outnumber the righteous. Yeah. Because the righteous get lazy. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Cold.
Yes.
And indifferent.
Yes.
They fail raising their children right.
Yes.
They fail in evangelism of sinners. And so soon we're back in Romans chapter 1. And it's a cycle.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's where we are today. You say, well, preacher, what's the answer to this? There's three answers. There's three answers. You still with me?
Yeah.
Three answers. Number one, you personally must be born again.
Amen.
You cannot affect society if you're one of them. And I've told this a thousand times. Preacher Falkenberry came to my house, and I was trying to do better, and I married and had children. There's one of them right there. And I said, preacher, when I get my life straightened out, I want to come to your church, join your church, and help young people. Show them not to do what I've done and where I grew up and all this stuff. He said, so you want to lead young people? I said, yeah. He said, where are you going to lead them? You're going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Whoa. He said, you need to get saved.
Amen.
Man. And so unless we are personally born again, and have light and sight, how can we lead other people into light? The blind leads the blind, and you both fall into a ditch. And that's where our churches are today. That's where our homes are today. That's where our government is today. The blind are leading the blind. You say, preacher, I ain't never heard nothing like that in a long time. Well, that's proof right there. You must be born again. Look, and then number two, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You still with me?
Yes.
2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 14. Most of you could quote it to me, I know. Verse 14 through 18. Number one, you get born again. Number two, believers return to this. Verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Light and darkness ain't going to stay in the same place. And what concord or agreement or contract with, look here, what concord hath Christ with Belial, or another name for Satan, the devil? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement at the temple of God, our temple, with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God said, I'll dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you unto myself, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Number two, believers must return to separated, godly living, back to winning lost people, back to living righteous and teaching their children righteous, back to not having associations with people and places and things that are God haters and Christ deniers. You have no concord with them. You have no agreement with them. They're dark, you're light. How can you walk together unless you be agreed?
Amen.
Now, sometimes things happen. People get married, both of them's lost, one of them gets saved. You're not going to leave that one. But if you're not married and one of you's lost, you shouldn't marry the lost one.
Right.
You're just asking for trouble.
Right.
Let your kids join some kind of worldly thing at school or something. You're asking for trouble.
Yeah.
You're asking for trouble. Now, I'm not against sports. I've never been a big sports person because I've just never been a big person. But I was always the last one they chose, and I was the one that gave the wrong color uniform, you know. And so I've never been a big sports person. But I'll tell you this, before I'd let my boy play in some of these worldly football, basketball, and all this stuff that has nothing to do with God,
right,
I'd start a basketball team at church and let the boys play together there.
Amen.
Now, you can't go out of the world, but you can be different with the world. You don't have to hook up with the world. You don't. I tell you one thing. They don't have to worry about me giving them my money to watch their movie or watch them play or anything like that. I'm not giving it to them.
Amen.
Bunch of God deniers.
Right.
I'll hire Billy Burgess to come down here and throw a ball with him if I have to. And he can't play either. He can fish, though, if you ever want to go fishing. He learned that secret of keeping the worm warm. You remember that? Keep your worms warm. You gotta keep them. Once you get that secret right, you catch some fish. Y'all look at his pictures on Facebook. You know what I'm talking about. Took the whole box of worms. Amen, amen, amen. Number two, come out from among them. You know the verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Joshua had to make a decision. He said, I don't know what you boys are going to do, but it's for me and my house. We'll serve the Lord. If that means my boy never gets to play on a college football team, then he won't get to play. If that means my daughter never gets to be the star on the volleyball team. By the way, I wouldn't let my girls play. They play in their panties. Yeah. That's what it looks like. I wouldn't. Go ahead. Get mad. Amen. Listen, we've got to, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord.
Amen.
Got to. Got to. Or God's not going to bless us.
That's right.
You know, it don't take much light to light up a place.
That's right.
Every once in a while, I hear a big story about something happening in one of these old dead churches, and people just get so excited. And I said, now, wait a minute. It don't take one little old candle to light up a dark place. And then it looks like a big flame.
Yeah.
But you take that little old candle in a place that's lit with a lot of other candles already there, and it don't look like that big a deal. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad if anybody gets saved, gets right with God. But let's don't get too excited because one little candle got lit in a dead place. Amen? Come out from among them. Be ye separate.
Yeah.
Now, used to be people say, well, you say that when your kids are teenagers. I did. I said it then. And I say it now. You can do it too. And listen to this. Godly living, bold Christian living will affect this world morally. Before I got saved, and I'm sure you too, before I got saved, I met some real godly men and women. And they scared me to death. I wasn't scared of nobody, but they scared me to death. I run with the meanest people on South Side of Lancaster, and these people who did nothing mean scared me. Just being around them give me the heebie-jeebies. Because these people had the light of God on them. They had the joy of the Lord. They had the peace of God. They had the power of God.
That's right.
And it doesn't take but one or two to change a whole room. But you're not going to live with the world, or like I usually say, you can't fly with the eagles and eat with the buzzards. There just ain't no way. You're going to have to come out from among the buzzards if you want to be an eagle. But we got to get back to that. Now, NASCAR drivers who attract thousands of people to the NASCAR track on Sundays. Hello?
Yeah.
On Sundays. Well, they have a devotion. It ain't nothing. And look, they attract them. Sports stars who claim to be Christian. But they want to live like the rest of them. They attract thousands of people on Sunday. And a lot of those are even Christians they attract on Sunday. But they attract in the lost world. And then they stand up there and they'll bow their little knee and say a little prayer after a football touchdown or something. And people think that's a great Christian. That boy ain't no great Christian. He'd been on in church if he'd been a good Christian. He wouldn't be hobnobbing with that crowd. Come out from among them. We got to get back to separated living. Now we're bringing it into the church. We could fill this thing up. The other brother Billy. We could fill this thing up. Not Presley. We could fill this thing up from this door to that door back yonder. And all we'd have to do is get Dolly to come sing one song. Yeah, that's right. We could fill it up from that door back there to that door back there, and all we'd have to do is get one NASCAR driver to show up one service.
Yeah.
Worldly carnal attractions.
Yes.
Or we could start a praise dance. I'm good now. Worldly, carnal attractions. I told y'all this story. I'm going to tell it again. I used to do a booth at the fair every year. I'd do a booth for my church. And they'd rent you a booth for $70. You know where they had the prize pies and the prize preserves in that building. And businesses would rent booths. So I said, well, if they can rent a booth, maybe a church can. So I went down there and I rented one. And they had white paper all over everything. And I put pictures all on there, you know, and I put banners on there, you know, and scripture on there. I put a big old box. Back then we had cassette tapes and had all my sermons on tape. I put them out there. I said, free, take some, you know, and I put out another shoe box I taped up and I said, win a free Bible, I had cards, put your name and address on there. Of course, I got to visit the names and addresses too. So I did all that and, gospel track, laid out all kind of gospel tracks. I tried to have somebody manning it most of the time myself. And when people come through, I'd give them a gospel track, try to witness to them. And, won first place 2 years. First place was $70. So it paid for itself 2 years in a row. But down the second year, the Church of God, and I forget which one it was now, one here in Rock Hill. Anyway, they rented a booth and they had balloons and a clown and mine for Jesus. I said, wait a minute, let me find that verse. Go ye in all the world and mine for Jesus. Wait a minute. Worldly. The Southern Baptists had a little church. They had a little church building that kids could go in and they could sit down and they were giving away donuts and free drinks and people in their little t-shirts, you know, and they was talking to people. They had no gospel tracts. They gave away no Bibles. They gave away no preaching. I think that both years we averaged about, it's somewhere around 1,200 cassette tapes people picked up and took home with them. That second year open, somebody called me, I think it was Suzanne or somebody, said they stopped by the booth, wasn't anybody there, but they looked at the box and there was no addresses in it. Somebody done stole all the addresses. I said, why would you steal the addresses, names and addresses of people wanting to win a Bible? But anyway, we filled it up again by the time the week was out. Now, we didn't have any mimes. We didn't have any music. We didn't have any balloons. We didn't have any cookies. All we had was gospel tracts, cassette tapes, people handing out tracts, people witnessing to other people. Now, we went into the world and preached the gospel. Amen? Now, why can't we do that? Why do we have to use all those other things? Why do you have to buy colored lights? Why do you have to buy dry ice smoke to float across the platform? Why do you have to have a big entertainer? You don't. You need to come out from under them, and you need to keep it out of the church. Amen? All right, I can tell that went over real good. Let's go to the next one. Number three. I said number one, personally get born again. Number two, believers return to separated godly living. Number three, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Turn over there if you will. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 22 and 23. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. But not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Number three, Jesus returns to set up his kingdom, ruling the world with a rod of iron. Those are the only things going to fix our world.
Yeah, that's right.
You get right with God, you get born again, your house will get right, more than likely. Mm-hmm. Number two, if you backslid, get right with God and come out from among them, and your house will get right, and your church will get right, and everything around you is going to be affected. But even at that, mankind is still worldly and carnal, and he still refuses to worship and obey God. So we're going to have, before it's over, Jesus himself to come back and set up his kingdom. And I don't know about you, but I see it coming. I see it coming. He said, when you see all these things happen, look up for your redemption draws nigh. Are you ready? What are you doing while you're waiting? Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank you.